This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Often what happens is, as we're moving along in life, we start to make mistakes. There is no human being that has not made a mistake on this earth. Apart from the prophets, everyone makes mistakes, and everyone will experience many different types of mistakes. And the kind of mistakes that we make more and more of different types of mistakes as we move along in life. But there's a saying that goes that those of us who are the wisest are those who have made most mistakes in life. So the more mistakes we make, the wiser we become. And if you think about it, if I just ask a quick thing right now, how many people sitting here, when you've been young, you actually burnt your hand or something with fire? How many put your hands up? Come, put your hands up. That's it. I expect every adult to have experienced it once in their life at least, that they touched fire, they went too close to it, and they realized that it's too hot. But what that does is, there's two sides to this. One is that no matter how many times adults told us not to do it, unfortunately, we still went ahead and we actually got slightly burnt, or we experienced that burning feeling. But second thing is that once you actually go through that once in your life, then a second time, you don't want to burn yourself. You don't want to go there again and put your hand on the fire. Now, mistakes happen. But the whole point is, have I and have you learned from the mistake? If people learn from the mistakes, then they move on. And learning from the mistakes has a couple of things. One is that you regret what you did, and you want to make a change. You regret what you did and you want to make a change. You don't want to repeat yourself with the same thing again. That's one point. Second point is that a person is going to think that I've made this mistake, I've thought about it, and I don't want to carry on thinking about it again and again and again, because if you carry on doing that, it's going to weigh you down. It weighs people down. So yes, we learn from the mistake that we committed. We regret the mistake. We don't want to do it again. But we want to become people who don't dwell on it too much. We don't want to dwell on it too much, because then you actually start to put a burden in your mind. So here is a whole set of human beings. We've all made mistakes. And the kind of mistakes that we've made in terms of religion is that we've actually sinned. We've sinned. And what that does is, it kind of eats into you when you understand that you've sinned, Iblis got you, the shaitan got you, and you didn't sin once, you repeated the sin again and again. Or you did it a good few times before you sort of thought about stopping it. Now the human being is conditioned in such a way that if the human being does something that is evil on a small scale, then it becomes customary to do that. He gets used to, or she gets used to doing that. That's the human being. So if you actually think about the human being, if the human being lies, then lying becomes easy. Once you lie once, you can lie 10 times. Once you lie once, you can lie 10 times. When a human being steals for the first time, it's something which really, you know, it's a great feeling inside that, am I doing something? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? You know, the mind kind of talks to itself and says, why am I doing this? But once a human being steals once, then the same human being can steal 10 times, 20 times. And one process is happening with that, which is each time they steal, they kind of get more experienced in that. Each time they lie, they get more experienced in that. And what then happens overall is the thought process that Allah is watching me, that thought process starts to diminish. Or a person starts to justify their own sin. There are a lot of people who do this. They justify the sin that they're doing and they say to themselves, it's okay, I can do it. It's okay, I can do it. So if it was a person who was if there's a guy that is dating a woman, they justify in their head and they say, well, you know, I'm not committing the haram. I'm not committing the actual haram. I'm only seeing her. I'm only talking to her. I'm only just having a bit of conversation. But when the person actually will touch the other person, first time they will feel bad inside, but then they start justifying it in their mind. They say to themselves that, it's okay, I'm only touching. That's all I'm doing. I'm only touching. That's it. Nothing more. And if it goes further, they justify it again in their mind. And they might say things like, well, I'm only dating because I want to check her out to know whether she can be my wife or not. You understand? So the shaitan gives them a new dosage, because they're justifying. Shaitan, to make me and you commit a sin, he's got to give us the justification in the mind. And there are plenty of boys, plenty of girls that will actually date each other. They'll date each other on the pretense that is justified by thinking that I need to get to know her first. But that's not what the Sharia has said. That's not allowed. To date someone is not allowed because you've got the intention of marrying that person. It is not allowed for you to date them. But what I want to say to you is that the human mind starts to justify itself. And then there comes a time when the person has committed sin again and again, and many types of sins, and a person wants to stop. One of the things that happens is a person starts to become hopeless of stopping what they've actually done. And this is again another trick of the shaitan. The shaitan has got quite a few tricks. One trick is to trick you into sinning. Tricks me and you into sinning. Second thing is to trick you to believe that you need to carry on sinning to make yourself, you know, to make yourself have a good time. You need it. Don't worry about it. And then he tricks you by saying, don't worry about it. God will forgive. God is Allahu Ghafoor. Allahu Rahim. Allah's mercy. Didn't you hear the mercy Allah has? Do you hear how great Allah is? So he tricks the person to sin by saying, don't worry about it, you can do your tawbah. And then once the person wants to stop sinning, and the person wants to go on a good way and a good pathway, the shaitan has got another trick. This new trick is, hey, yeah boy, all these days you've been messing around. How can you now stand in front of Allah and be a good person? How can you just turn pious? How can you become a person that's going to forget your past? You don't remember the amount of times that you sin. So what they do now is the shaitan gives him a new dosage. The new dosage is First he said, God will forgive if you sin. Don't worry about it. Now he wants to do tawbah and he wants to leave it, or she wants to leave it. The shaitan puts another injection in and says, no. You can't. You're too bad. You've gone beyond repair. There's nothing that's going to repair you right now. You're messed up, big time. You need to now think how you're going to spend the rest of your days in hellfire. So now he starts a new game. He says, you're bust. You're gone. You can't do anything about it. You can't fix yourself up. And the shaitan starts to play in the mind. And every time the person thinks that they want to go back, or the person tries to go back, the shaitan is there to try and make the person believe that no, you can't do this. How can you, when you've got so much sin in your record? So now, my brothers and my sisters, what happens is this person gets despair inside. The person feels that, how am I ever going to stand in front of Allah with this many sins? What about when Allah says to me, you knew you were doing wrong and you still sinned? What about when Allah says to me that the imam gave a khutbah and you listened to it and you knew you're not supposed to do it but you still carried on? What about the time when you came across a sign of mine, I made you ill, and you prayed to me and you said, Allah, I will not sin again, and you know that you did that and I made you better, and then you go back again and you start sinning? Subhanallah al-Azim, so many different thoughts come in. And what that does is, it makes a person become despair of the hope and the mercy of Allah. It makes a person feel that, you know what, I'm really in a really bad position right now. And a person, often what they do is, they kind of withdraw from religious things. Either they will make religion a hated thing in their life, or they will make religion something which is something they don't want to associate themselves with. And people do this. Or they make religion something which they will take out and use when they want, and they will leave it when they want. And there are people who justify that. And the shaitan is really happy, because this guy, he's got him to sin, he's made him believe, or he's made her believe, I've got no way of making it back with Allah. Subhanallah al-Azim. And the real fact is, Allah, my friend, is waiting for you to come back to Him. Allah has got His both hands of mercy wide open for me and you to come any time in the day, any time in the night, and to come back to Him and to seek forgiveness. So I'm going to share you a couple of stories of people who've had some kind of real bad, hearts, and they didn't have much way of getting back, but Allah Azza wa Jal, He gave them that. And look what happens to them in the end. One story I'm going to give you is of a man. This is from a hadith in Tirmidhi, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us about a man from Banu Israel, from the Ummah of Musa Alayhi Salam. And it's a hadith with a good chain, so we can take good lesson from this. This man's name was Kifl. This man's name was Kifl. And what happened is, he got a lot of money from Allah. Now, a lot of us might be sitting here and we might be praying that, oh Allah, make me rich. And you probably think that once I get rich, my problems are going to disappear. My friends, I want to say one thing to you. With money, you can buy your house. With money, you can buy your fame. With money, you can buy your luxuries. You can buy your cars. But with money, what you can't buy is peace in your heart. You can't buy that. You can't buy that. Because what money sometimes does to you is that it gives you the opportunity to sin. You have the opportunity to do good deeds, yes, but you also have got the opportunity to sin. So what happens here is that Kifl, a man from Banu Israel, he says, you know what, I've got all this money, What should I do with the money? See, when you've got excess money, you start to think, what am I going to do with the money? So a modern man, a modern woman, when they've got a lot of money, they're going to build a big house. Then they'll get a couple of cars. Then they'll invest in properties. What's after that? Then you're going to go out and have all these, you know, you go to these restaurants and you eat and you eat. What do you do after that? Well, then you start flying around. You visit different countries. What do you do after that? Well, you're bored. Unless you get into something with your money, unless you get into something that's going to give you more pleasure, you're going to get bored. So in the modern day and age, people who've got excess money, some of them, they fly around to different parts of the world and they find opportunities to sin. So what did Kifl do? Kifl used his money to hire different women and he spent the night with these women. Every other night, he had a new woman. He paid her very well and she would spend the entire night with him. And what happens is, one day he has this woman who comes to his place by night and he's going to give her something like 60,000 dirhams for her to spend an entire night with Kifl. And what Kifl does is that he's there and he's ready. He's closed the door, he's in his chamber. And when he sits right between her, she starts crying. And Kifl says to her, why are you crying? Why are you crying? So then she says that I've never done anything like this in my life. So he said, why are you here? What's made you come here? And she says that if it wasn't for my poverty and for the fact that I need money, I wouldn't be here tonight. And he saw the fear of Allah that this woman had, because she was very fearful of the fact that she's doing this and that Allah is watching her, and only poverty made her or forced her to come to Kifl that night. So Kifl said to her, take your money, take this 60,000, go, it's yours. And you don't have to spend the night with me. You don't have to do anything. I'm going to let you go. So he lets this woman go. He gives her the money without her doing anything. And then what Kifl does is that Kifl turns to Allah Azza wa Jal in Tawbah. And he makes Tawbah to Allah for the days that he spent his money on women, different nights, spending time with them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that night Kifl passes away. He dies that very night. Allahu Akbar. What a moment to die. He made his tawbah and he died. And his tawbah was, oh Allah, I will never do this again because of seeing that woman and the fear that she has had for you. I, Kifl, will never do this act again. And he dies. And the best part of it is what? Is that in the morning, when people came to the residence and the house of Kifl, they found on the door of Kifl, this is his door, on the door of Kifl, it was written, Allah has forgiven Kifl. Allahu Akbar. Allah has forgiven Kifl. That means Allah arranged with his power, whether directly or through angels, to write on the door of Kifl that Allah has forgiven Kifl. And what does that mean for me and you, brothers and sisters? A man who spends his life committing zina, and then he does a real tawbah to Allah. Now what do we mean by a real tawbah to Allah? See, a real tawbah to Allah means that a person has to have a few conditions fulfilled. A real repentance to Allah means that a person regrets what they did. And a person makes a firm intention never to return again back to that deed. So you regret and you don't return. And the third one, is that a person makes the intention that a person will have the, you know, inside his heart, the firm intention that he kind of hates the person, like he stopped what he's doing, he's regretted what he's doing, he's never going to go back to that deed, and he recognizes basically that this is something which Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't like. And if a person then does their tawbah, Allah has accepted the tawbah. Now there's one more thing. If you and me have taken the right of someone, you know, sometimes we take the right of someone, we kind of hurt them. If me and you have taken the right of someone, then we have to return that right again back to them before our tawbah is accepted. Before our tawbah is accepted. So for example, if you've stolen something from someone, you have to return the item back. If you've actually been in a situation where you've insulted someone, you have to personally go to that person and ask them for forgiveness, because God's forgiveness is dependent on this person also forgiving you. This is if it is to do with another person. Now some of you sometimes might think, man, I've gone there, I've tried it, and every time I go and ask the person for forgiveness, they don't want to know me. Or they kind of, you know, they want to show how independent they are from me, and they want to show their upper hand from me. Now what do you do? What do you do when a person doesn't want to forgive you? Well, what you do is you find an opportunity. If you're traveling or the person is traveling, then you go up to the person and you will say to them that, please, you know, you're going to travel, I may not see you again for some time. I'm asking you, if I've done anything in front of you or behind your back, whatever, or anything in general I might have done to you, I'm asking you to forgive me. And usually people are soft at that time and they'll most probably forgive you. But if the person is not around for you to get your, you know, they're not around, what do you do? And you can't find them, or they passed away. The scholars say that you should do some sadaqah, give some sadaqah, some charity on behalf of them, and just pray for them. Why? Because the more of that you will do, the more hopefully Allah Azza wa Jal will send the reward to that person, because you're doing it on their behalf. And on the day of judgment, when they see you, they will not look at you with the same eyes. They will now see you as the person who actually gave them so much, and hopefully they forgive you. To me, so Allah says, okay, you take this much good deeds. So he takes this much good deeds. Oh Allah, he did this to me. Allah says, take more good deeds. So he takes more good deeds. Oh Allah, he swore at me. He insulted me. He did this, he did that. Allah says, take more, take more, take more, take more. Until all of the deeds of the other person has finished. But the victim hasn't stopped complaining. Victim says, Allah, I've got more complaints. So Allah says, okay, carry on. So the victim says, oh Allah, this person did this to me. Now, what's he going to do? All the good deeds he's taken from the perpetrator. So now Allah says, okay, you the victim, take your bad deeds, some of them, and put them onto the perpetrator's bad deeds. So he does that. Then he says, oh Allah, he also did this to me. Allah says, fine, take more bad deeds, put it onto the other side. Allah, he did more to me. So Allah says, carry on, carry on, carry on, carry on. Until now, all the bad deeds of the victim has finished. He's taken all of the perpetrator's good deeds, and the victim has given all of his bad deeds to the perpetrator. He says, oh Allah, I haven't finished. Allahu Akbar. The amount of wrong that this man did when he was alive. He says, oh Allah, I ain't finished yet. Then you ain't finished yet? So all of a sudden then Allah shows him a vision of Jannah. So he sees, looks up, and he sees these beautiful palaces. and rivers that are flowing beneath the palaces. And he sees these gardens he's never ever seen in his life, such beauty before in his life. And he sees the trees, and he sees the gold bricks and the silver bricks and the wonderful palace. And he looks up, and says, "Oh Allah, which servant that is very close to you is this part of Jannah for you?" Because it's got to be someone big. Allah says, "Oh so-and-so, who's the victim, this place in Jannah is not for any prophet. No Nabi, no prophet is going to take this place. No Siddiq, no truthful person, no close person, no Wali, nobody's going to take this." So he says, "Oh Allah, who's it for?" So Allah says, "It's for you." "Me? Me? What did I do to get this?" Allah says, "If you forgive your brother, the one that you're complaining about here on the Day of Judgment, if you forgive him, then I will give you this place in Jannah." And when he sees that place, he says, "Oh Allah, I forgive him. Allah says, "Okay, you now hold the perpetrator's hand and both of you enter Jannah." Allahu Akbar. And that's what made the Prophet ﷺ smile to the extent that you could see the molar teeth next to the canine teeth of the Prophet ﷺ. Allahu Akbar. So what I want to say to you is that you still got a chance. If you feel that you can't find the person on this earth to try and get the forgiveness from them, then inshallah, or maybe they haven't forgiven you, then there's a chance that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will find a way to forgive yourself. Now, in the final part of this, what I want to say is, my brothers and sisters, we need to learn how not to despair and how not to lose our hope. Because iman is between hope and fear. If you stand like this, if you say this is hope, this is fear. As long as your iman is between the two, you're a believer. But if your iman loses fear of Allah, loses fear of Jahannam, loses fear of Allah's punishment, then you lose your iman. You're no longer a believer. And if a person's iman loses the hope of Allah, loses the hope of getting into Jannah, loses the hope of ever getting forgiven by Allah, then you too will not become a believer. Iman bayn al khawfi wal raja. Iman is something which is between the two. It's between hope and fear. And sometimes it goes a bit towards hope, and sometimes it moves a bit more towards fear. When our iman moves more towards hope, we need to start reminding ourselves of Jahannam more. We need to start reminding ourselves of Allah's side of Him being awe-inspiring and Him being Shadidul Iqab, one that can punish, Him being Muntaqim, the Avenger. We need to remind ourselves of those things. And when our iman goes too much towards the fearful side, we're getting too much fear about Allah, too much fear about Jahannam, too much fear about the Akhirah, too much fear that I might not be forgiven, then we need to remind ourselves of Jannah. Remind ourselves of Allah's forgiveness. Remind ourselves of the stories in the hadith that many people have been forgiven like Kifl. Many people have been forgiven like Kifl. So, this is the challenge. When I need to check my iman, am I a Muslim today that is depending upon the hope of Allah a lot? Or am I a Muslim that is being continuously attacked by the fear of everything where am I? Because I need to remind myself of the other. And as long as I can do this, I can check myself, but I'm never to lose hope. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Holy Quran, He has said,
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
O Muhammad, go tell my servants, go say to them,
يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ.
Go to the servants of mine who have wasted their entire lives and say to them, O servants of Allah who have wasted your entire lives, who wasted their youth, who wasted their adolescence, who wasted their time, wasted their energy, never ever lose your hope in Allah's mercy.
لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله.
Why?
إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا.
For Allah is the one that can forgive all sins at once.
إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.
And He is the one that is oft forgiven and the one that has a lot of mercy, limitless mercy.
وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ.
After not losing your hope in Allah, turn to Allah.
وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ.
And submit yourselves to Him.
مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ.
Before a day comes to you where punishment arrives and you will find no one to help you.
وَاتَّبِعُوا أَحْسَنَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ.
After that, follow what has been revealed in the Quran. Start to draw towards me through that. Before a day comes to of punishment towards you, and you will not even realize what happens.
أن تقول نفس يا حسرة على ما فرطت في جنب الله وإن كنت لمن الساخرين.
Lest one of you comes on the day of judgment, lest one of you turns upon the day of judgment and says, when they see the punishment of Allah, they say, Oh Allah, I regret the moments that I've spent in fruitless times on the earth. I regret not doing enough on the earth, and I admit that I was one of those that used to make jokes and used to scoff and used to carry on laughing.
أو تقول لو أن الله هداني لكنت من المتقين.
Lest one of you comes on the day of judgment and says, if Allah had guided me, I would have been from those who were aware of Him. Don't make that excuse. Allah saying, don't make that excuse.
أو تقول حين ترى العذاب لو أن لي كرة فأكون من المحسنين.
Or maybe one of you will come on the day of judgment, and when they see their punishment, they will say, if Allah gives me one more chance to go back to the earth, I will always become the best of people on the earth. Allah says, none of this is going to be accepted. Why? Because we've got the chance right now. My brothers and my sisters, my final words to all of us are, let us not lose the hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. We can always make it. Doesn't matter what age you are, what background you are. Allah has still got His mercy stored for me and you. And Allah's mercy does not see black, does not see white, does not see a poor person, does not see a rich person. Allah's mercy does not choose from the people who are fortunate, from the people who are unfortunate. Allah's mercy does not see a woman or a man. Allah's mercy does not see whether you have sinned multiple times, whether you sinned once the sin. Allah's mercy and His forgiveness doesn't see that. Allah can forgive anybody who He wants at any moment, whatever He wants. Because Allah has said,
يغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء. He can forgive whoever he wants and he can punish whoever he wants. It's up to Allah who he forgives. It's up to Allah who he punishes. So we've got time right now. Let us make a tawbah. Let us turn to Allah. And let us, with our heart, turn to Allah with emotion. When we say to him our istighfar, with emotion. استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. With emotion, whichever way you want, you say istighfar, you seek forgiveness from Allah, and you say, I seek forgiveness from the one who there is no other Lord besides him, and to him only I return. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. And there is no one to turn me away from sin, there is no one to give me the power to do any good, except for Allah, who is the Most High and who is the Greatest. And brothers and sisters, make dua to Allah. And when you make dua to Allah, open to Allah. And say to Allah the very things that we've been through in life. And say, oh Allah, say, oh Allah, with your heart. Oh Allah, you gave me the ability to be on this earth and to benefit from the things that you have given me. Oh Allah, you've given me eyes to see, you've given me ears to listen with, you've given me a tongue to speak with. Oh Allah, you gave me a mind to think with. Oh Allah, you gave me legs to walk with. Oh Allah, you gave me hands to touch with. Oh Allah, you gave me the ability to think and the ability to have education. Oh Allah, I ask you to forgive me, for I have used my tongue to sin. I have used my eyes to see the things I'm not supposed to see. I have used my ears to listen to things that you have prohibited. I have used my feet to walk towards things that you have prohibited. I seek your forgiveness, and I'm asking you to forgive the sins that have polluted my legs, that have polluted my hands, that have polluted my face, that have polluted my eyes, that have polluted my ears. Oh Allah, I ask that I stand in front of you on the day of judgment, and I have no sins on my body. Oh Allah, I ask you that you will forgive me without me having to ask this type of forgiveness. Oh Allah, I ask you that you forgive me and you transform me to the people that you love and the people that have acquired your forgiveness. See, open up to Allah. Even say the sins that we have actually performed, the things that we have done. Open up to Allah. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us, and may Allah Azza wa Jal give us the hope of having hope in His mercy. Jazakumullahu khair wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.